Many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 to 11a. 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 11a. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this. My theme for reflection is the secret bank account of happiness. The secret bank account of happiness. I sometimes wonder what would happen if we all had to declare not our income, but our source of contentment on our tax forms. Imagine the boxes. Tick if you find your happiness in money, health, possessions, reputation, or God. Most of us would hesitate with our pens. And yet Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 11, godliness with contentment is great gain. This is one of those passages that feels like a quiet rebuke and a liberating secret at the same time. The problem Paul names is not money itself, but the restless love of money. The if-only spiral. If only I had a better car. If only my health was stronger. If only my house was bigger. If only my boss valued me more. We chase happiness like a moving target, never quite hitting it. Theologian Miroslav Volf once wrote, "We consume more and more, but find ourselves satisfied less and less, because what we truly crave cannot be bought, only received." That is why Paul insists that what matters most is not accumulation, but orientation. Where our heart points, when the world keeps dangling shining distractions. God responds to this restlessness not by promising us more stuff, but by promising himself. Paul reminds Timothy that we came into this world naked and will leave it the same way. That fact, far from being depressing, is freeing. It means every meal, every coat, every friend, every breath is grace, not entitlement. And grace changes our posture from grabbing to receiving, from hoarding to sharing, from despairing to trusting. There is also a politics of work embedded here. For Paul, labor is not just about earning wages, but about embodying accountability, service, and growth. Modern psychology affirms this. Viktor Frankl argued that meaning is found not in pleasure or power, but in responsibility, shouldering a task larger than oneself. Work is satisfying not only because it pays the bills, but because it reminds us that we matter to others. When a nurse tends to a patient, when a mechanic repairs a stranger's car, when a teacher helps a struggling child, they are paid, yes, but they are also contributing to the flourishing of people and places. Pay sustains us, purpose carries us. That is why Paul urges Christians not to treat labor as mere drudgery, but as holy participation in God's renewing work in the world. True happiness, then, is not about escaping the grind, but reorienting it. When we pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness, we find that even the smallest task can be infused with eternal meaning. The call is not simply to flee from the false promises of wealth, but to pursue Christ, whose life shows us that greatness is not in possessions, but in pouring oneself out for others. So today, happiness is not locked away behind if only. It is hidden in plain sight, in godliness with contentment, in Christ with us, in labor that becomes love. Or to borrow Paul's words, that is great gain. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, in what areas of my life am I tempted to measure happiness by if onlys rather than by contentment in Christ? Number two, how might my daily work, whether paid or unpaid, become more consciously an act of service and worship? And now our practical exercise for the day. Choose one ordinary task: washing dishes, answering emails, preparing food, and do it slowly, gratefully, as though it were your offering of love to God and neighbor. Generous God, you give us all things richly to enjoy, and yet we confess how often we chase shadows instead of resting in your light. Teach us to flee the traps of greed and to pursue righteousness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Help us to find joy, not in what we possess, but in who possesses us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. May our work, our rest, and our responsibilities and relationships reflect your kingdom until that day when all striving is complete and we enter into eternal contentment with you. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.